Well, Joe, thank you for your patience, sir.
Hi, Dr. Wright. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. I have two questions I'd like to ask. The first one is, I have myasthenia gravis, which was first diagnosed 11 years ago.
Sure.
And that was just the droopy eye and some funny vision issues. And since then, it went away completely. Well, I never had any issues with it. Till that last fall, I got the droopy eye back, and then earlier this year, double vision, dizziness. And as I discovered after investigating a little more, I had the neck muscles were, I guess, getting weak. I needed to prop my head to relieve the pain. And then the end of April this year, all of a sudden, I developed a breathing issue. I sat down after dinner, cleared my throat, and all of a sudden, I struggled to get a breath in. I could breathe out fine, but I couldn't. It was really a struggle to draw a breath in. So we called 911, and I spent the evening down in emergency.
There you go.
And the doctor completely went off on a tangent and completely missed the myasthenia, even though I told him I had it. I had been diagnosed. Anyway, so over the next 2 weeks, sometimes I breathed easy. Other times I struggled to breathe. And I got in to see a neuro-ophthalmologist that I had scheduled an appointment with earlier. And he saw that I was, I guess, at a crisis point. And that this is at Swedish Hospital. He put me in the hospital. And I ended up in the ICU the next morning. And they had three IVs in me. And one they put the IGIV in for the one treatment. The other one they injected Mestin on. Mm-hmm. And after a short time, I blacked out. And actually, my heart stopped. So
uh-oh.
They did chest compressions, and they stopped the IGIV, and then they gave me another injection of the Mestinon. Well, my heart stopped again. So anyway, they figured, I guess we won't inject any more of that. So I've been on just the oral since I got home from the hospital. This was a month ago, and that seemed to be well-tolerated. I'm not having any breathing issues. But I need to, is there any other treatments besides, the Mestinon, like I said, it is helping. Is there anything else that you can tell me about it?
Yes, sir.
Myasthenia. Yes,
yes sir. Myasthenia is an autoimmune condition. You've been told that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things to do, to think about doing, let's put it that way, I can't tell you what to do, but to think about doing is to see a physician who is well familiar with autoimmune conditions and what can cause them and what can be done to relieve them. Now, notice I didn't use the word cure here. Only sometimes can autoimmune problems be cured. Other times, the best we can do is control them by natural means. All right, so autoimmunity can come from many things. It can come from gluten sensitivity. It can come from a little bacteria called Helicobacter pylori. It can come from candida growing in the bowel. You really have to be working with a physician who can search out all the known causes of autoimmunity and try to get you around those causes. All right, but there is one thing that can be done that I've asked people with myasthenia to do for years, and it has worked in most cases, but I'm not sure, and I'm going to have to look it up for you, whether it's going to be messed with by the Mestinon. And I notice I said it that way because usually the Mestinon will work with stuff. But let me see. I don't use it too much. Or I don't use it much at all, in fact. let's see. What does it tell us? I'm very sorry.
No, I appreciate your time.
Okay. Okay, here we go. It says right here that Mestinon is an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor, Now, in case you don't know what that happens to be, it inhibits the breakdown of acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is a neurotransmitter, and in myasthenia gravis, there happens to be an antibody produced, that's why it's called autoimmune, that doesn't belong there. That antibody attacks a person's own receptors for acetylcholine. As you know, every neurotransmitter, such as acetylcholine and adrenaline and all of those, they all work by whacking into receptors, and then the receptors transmit the message into the cell, and on things go. But there are antibodies made against those receptors in myasthenia, and as I said, one of the things we have to do is find, can we find something that's triggering those antibodies? But the other thing we can do, sir, what does the mestinon do again? It blocks the breakdown of acetylcholine. Why don't we just build more acetylcholine to begin with? Duh. Well, because you can't patent it, that's why. I know I got excited there, but that's just the way it goes. You can't patent it. But if you tried to build it at the same time you're blocking the breakdown, you might have a little problem there. So it's best to be working with a doctor who knows what they're doing, can help you taper the mestinon. And how do you build more acetylcholine? That's easy. You just use what nature uses. Just copy nature, and nature uses choline, and it happens to use just choline itself increases acetylcholine concentration in rats. And I know we're not rats. Oh, excuse me, I'm not speaking of politicians here. But anyway, it increases acetylcholine in the brain. But also, what I've had people do is use a big dose of choline, which hasn't hurt anybody, and then we accompany that with vitamin B1. And pantothenic acid, which is vitamin B5, and manganese. And those three things help the acetylcholine and the choline turn into acetylcholine a lot better. And one thing people have told me is that, gee, even if I couldn't get off of all my treatments, such as mestinon, at least I could use a lot less of it if I took those nutrients and built more acetylcholine. So sounds like you need to be working with a doctor on that one, sir, but there is a pathway. It has worked for most of the people I've worked with myasthenia. And how many is that? Well, since 1973, probably a dozen.
It's not a real popular disease. I'm finding out there's not many people have it, although when we moved in here 3 years ago, my neighbor had it. And
he was actually
disabled and couldn't work.
Well, I'd get in to see a doc, sir, before anything like that even gets near you.
All right. Now, you said, was it vitamin B1?
No, the main, start with choline, sir, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, yeah. And
yes. What
I usually have people use, you use between 3 and 4 grams a day. I'm not kidding. That's a lot of choline, but nobody ever got hurt with it. And it sure does give a boost to the system. After that, we're doing vitamin B1. And
okay. That
one I usually ask people to use 500 milligram, because some of us, if we take more than that, we get sleepy. And so 500 milligrams is enough. Next one is pantothenic acid, which is also vitamin B5, and we want 1,000 milligrams of that. That's daily. And then the manganese, I ask people to use 15 milligrams daily. And it does take at least 10 days to 2 weeks to start noticing anything, because they have to be built into the acetylcholine. Now, again, I'd encourage you to work with a doctor who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine. While you're doing this, because it probably would not be a good idea to take those quantities to build that acetylcholine and continue to block its breakdown at the same rate. Now, I didn't say that everybody needs to get off mestinon immediately. No. I said we need to work on a tapering program and see how the person does.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good information. Thank you very much. The second question I have is, my older son has severe depression, and he's been on as many as 4 or 5 drugs at one time, and nothing seems to be helping. One of the doctors has actually suggested electroshock therapy,
mm-hmm.
and I have read something. I don't know if it was the old nutritional. What was it? That magazine you used to write for.
Oh, that one, yeah, sure.
Yes, Nutrition and Healing. I saw it online, usually there's a way of treating that that's natural. It's I can't remember what it is. Can you give me some information?
I surely can, sir. Where do you live, by the way, before I get to that? Where do you live?
We live in Graham, Washington.
Sounds like you might be wanting to check with the doc at Tahoma. Just simply, not that I'm trying to tout our clinic all the time, but hardly anybody else anywhere in this area does either the myasthenia treatment like I was telling you or the depression treatment like I'm going to tell you about right now. Now, the depression treatment comes from a review of 6 research papers, all published in Europe, and this research was done by professors in Chicago. Now, why they reviewed them, I'm not sure, because it never went anywhere, but they came to a very strong conclusion, and that is this treatment works. The 6 studies over in Europe were on people who were so depressed that they had to be hospitalized. Hospitalized. And what that means is that they were so depressed that they were going to commit suicide or in some other way injure themselves. So they're in the hospital. All right, what do? They used very large doses of a mineral that's in the same family as sodium and potassium and lithium. It's called rubidium. They used very large doses. But, number one, no one was hurt by these low doses. No one was hurt by them. Number two, they reported that within 1 month, sir, 2/3 of those patients were discharged from the hospital as no longer depressed. Now, did I say it helped every time? No, I didn't. I said that 2/3 were discharged with the diagnosis of you're not depressed anymore. Now, how does that work? Well, rubidium happens to stimulate the synthesis of noradrenaline in the brain. Remember, we're trying to stimulate the synthesis of acetylcholine in the brain over here. Well, over there, we're trying to stimulate adrenaline because adrenaline is the antidepressive excitatory hormone, and I don't mean get all excited all the time, but it wakes us up. It makes us want to go do things. It gives us the push and the drive, adrenaline, and rubidium is the key mineral. Now, it's not the only mineral for that, but oddly enough, we happen to know what the other things are in that pathway besides rubidium. So at Tahoma, us docs don't have to use the giant doses of rubidium. It is a little costly, sir. We don't have to use the giant doses. We use moderate doses because we know that there's these 4 or 5 other elements that rubidium works with to make that noradrenaline. That's what natural medicine is all about, is copying nature. How does nature do it? Okay, we'll do it that way. Duh. We don't have to make up a molecule and patent it to treat the condition. We just copy what nature does. And funny thing, it very, very frequently works, sir. So if at all possible, I'd suggest that you think about getting him treated in that way. Again, there was no one hurt, even in the European studies where they used rubidium only. And with doing that, of course, they had to use a much higher dose because they didn't use any of the other cofactors.
Okay, well, that sounds like maybe a better path to follow, and I don't have any other questions. Thanks so much for the information, and thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you for saying so, sir, and that is really the major goal of this program, even though, yeah, I did get off on a little bit of a political rant, but can't help it sometimes.
It's good to hear that, though.
It's just very frustrating, sir. There's so many things we could do for people, including in cancer, that are known to work, and yet we're not allowed to do them.
Right. I really believe that.
Yeah.
So thanks again, Dr. Wright.
You're welcome,
I'll keep
sir.
Listening.
Okay.